Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be alright.
Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Just past 8 o'clock, a skosh past, if you will. My name is Johnny Wright. How are you? Welcome to the program that focuses on all things customer service oriented. How much of an impact does the way employees treat us have on our loyalty to stores? Amount of money we spend in stores? And maybe just the bigger question is our own happiness. Because, you know, retail and buying and spending is really a huge part of our lives. I mean, we spend a lot of our time buying stuff and paying bills. And it's not just, you know, discretionary spending, but it's going to bill-paying kiosks and the people that we engage there. And it's even online on the phones, paying the Mid-American bill, talking to operators, Mediacom. I mean, we spend a lot of time engaging other people and spending our money while we do it. And so how much does their joy, their smiles, their engagement, their thank yous, those little things, how much do those things have an impact on our own joy? It's really about human and human. It's really not this employee-customer thing. And that the great retail stores and places that get that understand that. One of the people who gets it is Bob Tursi. He is a longtime owner of Tursi's Latin King, and he will join us this morning to talk about that very subject, about the power of great customer service, particularly in the restaurant business where it means so much. Also, John Hamburger, yes, that is his name, John Hamburger, is president of Franchise Times Magazine and many other publications about the financial aspect of the restaurant business. Is it healthy? How is it doing in this economy? What does it take to do well from a franchisee's perspective? And John's got that. He's up in Minneapolis. He's going to join us this morning. Also, a billion tweets. Is anybody paying any attention to what's happening on Twitter? A study out says, yeah, you know, we may be just kind of ignoring a lot of that goop. Very, very interesting, particularly if you're in the marketing. I mean, even just go on there and say, hey, everybody, read this. It's really cool, isn't it? Tell me about it. And like nobody, you know, really thinks it's cool. No one's telling you about it. So we're going to talk about that. And also, how to secret shop your own birthday. Yeah, there's actually a way to do that. And I'm doing it sort of today. And we'll get to all that coming up. Your weather forecast, you know, this is it's not really terribly good, but it's all right. Cloudy today and 39. And I saw that high temperature and I thought, you know, I don't know, somebody like at the National Weather Service, certainly they got that wrong on the website. Certainly that should be 93. Maybe that 9 should even be a 6, 63. No. 39 is what we're going to manage. We're going to scruff the bottom of the high temperature barrel today. Areas of drizzle tonight. Now we're going to drop down to 37. And I don't know, yeah, I mean, I flunked out of math quite a bit, but it only seems like a 2-degree difference in the high and the low. So it's very interesting, just fascinating to me. And then Sunday, a chance of drizzle. We're back up to 55, so a bit warmer. You can take drizzle. To me, drizzle sounds very cold to me. But drizzle sounds cold to me. And rain sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds warmer to me. But I guess it's really about the temperature. 55 for the high on Sunday. And then Monday, 20% chance of showers and 48, a little bit cooler then. So again, it sounds like a cloudy, rainy, sort of a dark shadows. Remember the, yes, dark shadows. That's what it sort of feels like for the next 2 or 3 days. Right now, cloudy and 27, no rain right now. And our overview this morning is of Olive Garden, which is a company that's West Des Moines, West Town Parkway, a restaurant, been there quite a while. Part of a franchise, and I wrote a Secret Shopper review about Olive Garden, which posted Thursday at theunsecretshopper.com. This is a blog that I write, part of this radio program, part of my training company. It's all, everything's linked together. Yeah, there's a synergy. That word was very strong in the mid-90s. Now I think there's probably a better word for it, but in any event, there is a synergy here. If you go to www.theunsecretshopper.com, you can read all of the Secret Shopper reviews of a multitude of companies, of which the Olive Garden is the most recent. Now, the Olive Garden, if you go to their website and you watch their ads, there's that old world Italian feel. And it's just in, there's the Italian music, and there's the accordion going, and it's kind of like, you expect like Lady and the Tramp, two dogs kissing over a piece of spaghetti and the whole thing. And it's very romantic, and you're thinking, this was probably, this place had to be invented by some guy named Enrico Palazzo back in 1839, who was sitting on the banks of the Mediterranean Sea and thinking, if I could serve pasta like my grandmother makes it. And he was probably thinking, and that's probably what it sounded like in his head as he's laying there on beside the water. And that's what we want to think. We want to think for Italian, there's a romanticism to it, and there's this deep history to it. And kind of unfortunately, when the Olive Garden's case, actually, the first one was built in 1982 by the good folks at, where was it? It was, General Mills. Yeah, General Mills, people who make fruit roll-ups. Yeah, so that doesn't have quite that romanticism to it, but okay, sure. And it was originally called the Green Frog, which was that was the name of the Olive Garden when it first started. Today there are over 700 Green Frogs nationwide. Of course, it's now the Olive Garden. Thank God they went with a different name. And Des Moines' only Olive Garden, of course, 3600 Westtown Parkway. It's the focus of the Secret Shopper Review. I went into Olive Garden twice, posing as a customer. Once dressed up, nice tie, nice dress shirt, looking pretty spiffy, if I do say so myself. And then, the second time looking like I've been thrown down a flight of stairs and then working out in a hog farm for about a couple hours. It was undressed, sort of like. So I went in twice, and consistently, I would say the service was okay. One of the things that drove me into the Olive Garden was that I was receiving numerous complaints about the service, and that sort of piqued my interest. It's like, okay, all right, it doesn't sound like people are getting served very well here. Let's see what my own experience is. And I have to say across the board that the service was timely. I mean, the service was fast. I'll tell you that. If you want fast, at least my experience was, they get you in, they get you out pretty quick. Now, I went at, it was an afternoon, it was a Tuesday afternoon, I believe, at around 2 o'clock. And they were still pretty busy. I mean, I was surprised how many cars were in that parking lot. Wow. Yeah, they churn and burn over there. And then the next night, I went in at around 6 o'clock. And I missed much of the rush going at 6, and I sort of did that with some intent. But the service was still very quick. It was still very efficient. People were good about, bringing the food, and I didn't really order a lot. But what was missing, I would say, overall across the board at the Olive Garden was something very simple, and that's joy, happiness. And it's particularly in an Italian restaurant, and even whatever the theme, to me, food is a very romantic, kinesthetic, endorphin-snapping, sensual experience. We want to be, and it depends. I mean, you don't really want Ronald McDonald coming out and touching you when you're at McDonald's. I mean, it smells like a lawsuit, but you understand what I'm saying. It's supposed to feel good. It's supposed to wrap itself around us like a warm blanket. Food feels good. Endorphins snap. We get a natural opiate rush. Food tastes good. It feels good to sit down and eat it. We want it to be like grandma's house. It can't always be, but we kind of dig that whole thing. It's why food is such a big deal for us, right? And especially in an Italian restaurant, I think we expect sort of a higher level. Whether it's a franchise or whether it's a mom-and-pop place doesn't matter. Food is power, very powerful for us. And I would say that element is really missing at the Olive Garden. Now, it's a pretty facility, very nice to look at, and there's pleasant music. I think Lena Horne was singing as I came in. Yeah, very nice. And then Dean Martin was in there, and there's some other people singing stuff. I didn't recognize any of the lyrics because I think it was like Italian, but it was still beautiful, very romantic, the language of love. So all of that's great, but when you've got employees sort of, shuffling around, they got a frown on their face. They just kind of look, and they're carrying plates or they're cleaning tables, and they look all frowny browny, and you don't see a lot of smiles, even from servers. Yeah, even from the people who are the people on the front end. For example, Joanne, the greeter, greeted me at the front door the first time. She said, "Hi, one." And she did that without a smile. And there's nothing technically wrong with that. But again, get to know us. Say, "Hey, how are you? Welcome to Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family." That's our branding statement. Hey, let's treat you like you're one. And you didn't really get that sense there at the front door. And that sets the tone with Joanne right there. And then I got taken to a section by Deb. Again, no smile while Deb is taking me. So there's the server, there's the greeter, and then they hand that person you off to somebody else. And that is the, I don't know, the it's like the GPS person in a restaurant. They take you to where your table's supposed to be. And Deb took me there. And she says, right this way. And she's taking me there. And she's walking, you know, along, and I'm left of her. And she says, how are you? But she says it looking straight ahead. Now, I know people, oh, my God, they say, Johnny, God, you nitpick on everything. You micromanage everything. But all of those little things add up. It's the little things that mean something. All those little things, do the addition, punch them in. It's a look. It's a smile. It's looking at you while I'm talking to you. It's engaging you as if I truly mean it, not as if I've done it 1,000 times since you came in. All of those things are part of our very humanity, and they are important. They have an impact. Those are the things we should be hanging on to the most preciously, because they're the things that mean the most. And so, you know, Deb's looking ahead. How are you? Sort of an automatic, all right, reflexive thing. And it's not that it was unpleasant. She didn't say, how are you, jerk? You know, no, nothing like that. I mean, she could have, maybe. If she'd known I was a secret shopper, maybe she would have. Sure, it's all good. No, she was very pleasant, just unsmiling and looking straight ahead. And she said, enjoy, as I sat down, without a smile. It's very hard to say the word enjoy and I have a smile on your puss. Yeah, I think it just doesn't, again, authenticity, engagement. So she sat me in a section with had 8 tables and 3 booths, and there were probably about 15 customers in that area. And there were 3 servers coming. This is around 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. And my server was Eric, and he came right away. I mean, he was right out, service very efficient. He had a nice smile on his face, and he said, hi, how are you today? And he meant it. Very nice. Took my drink order, asked if I needed a few minutes, came back a few minutes later, and asked me if I decided. He listened to my order, and this is the very interesting moment. Again, it's just so quirky things, but Eric is listening to me place my order. It's just a salad. I told him, the smallest salad you got, and I don't want any croutons, don't want any cheese. I am, hello, a model. I've got to shoot this weekend. Chilu, I cannot be all swollen. So I'm telling him about my salad order. And as he's listening, he's looking not at me, but he's looking off to the side. Like he's in sort of down, his head is tilted down, and like he's thinking of, you know, trying to remember what my order is. And it, you know, really wasn't that big of an order, but okay. And it just was, there was this detachment. And again, no one's ever said anything, I suspect, to Eric about this. But again, when people are listening to us, we want them to look at us. Just as human beings, two people engage. When you talk to a friend, they look away. You think, hey, man, I'm over here. What are you looking over there for? It seems like they're distracted, even though he wasn't. But again, just a series of little things, so teachable, so trainable, so learnable, and so impactful, if there's consistency in all of those things. He took my order, came back, wasn't smiling at the time, put the salad on the table. Again, and sort of lost that bit of joy that he had there at the front side. And while all of that was going on, other things, observations of other employees, Rory walked past my table several times, and I made eye contact with him twice, and he responded by looking down and away. And we've talked about that deferential look away, it's too intense, I don't know you moment we have when we look in the eye of strangers, people that we don't know. There's an uncertainty to that. We tend to look away. It is very hard to make ourselves look at someone that we do not know. And yet, it has a tremendous impact in the retail industry. And I have people I train all the time say, yeah, man, I looked them in the eye, the customer, and they just looked away. You're all mad and stuff. And I say, listen, it's all good. We have to retrain customers as well as ourselves that it's okay to look them in the eye and smile and engage, and okay for them to look back. It's okay to be happy inside our stores because we're happy. This is a different place. And we're giving people the freedom to be engaging and kind and thoughtful and human. To not do so, as I told the Girl Power Group, which is a wonderful group of women who are business owners and workers and just get together on a regular basis. We met at Overtime Lounge yesterday, and I did a little presentation. But as I told them, I said, by not doing that, I think that we risk every brick-and-mortar store. We risk our jobs, our livelihoods, in the sense of no matter where we work, in an insurance agency downtown or at a restaurant or at a store or whatever, by not engaging people in their with their own our own humanity, human to human, by depending on texts and voicemail and technology. And the thing that distances us from each other doesn't bring us together. It distances us from each other. That is my belief. We lose the kinesthetics. I mean, we don't get married over a phone. I'm sure it's happened. We don't fall in love over a text. It's kissing. It's kinesthetics. It's touch. That's the impact. Those are the people that are closest to us. What does that tell us about the power of being in person? It tells us everything we need to know. And so as I challenged the group yesterday, I said, you know, someone that you know by face that you've been around for years, that you don't know their name, go find their name out next week. Just ask them their name. Get their name and use it in a conversation. Or if you're at a store and you see someone's name tag, a cashier, call them by name. Tom, say, hey, Tom, thank you. And Tom will light up like a Christmas tree. I see this all the time. I will call people out by their name, and they're not used to it. They freak out. They love it. They smile. It's like, cool. And then all of a sudden, they're in this happier place. Why? Because names mean something. Speaking of names, Carissa approached my table, made eye contact, quickly looked away, never let a smile touch her face. Did not look like she was having fun at the fun Italian restaurant. You know, Shannon's walking around grating cheese with a frown on her face. And I'm thinking, you know, listen, it's behold the power of cheese. You know, it's like with a smile, it's not behold the power of cheese. You know, cheese it up, baby. Say cheese. That's a smile, you know. It's not an acute frown, for heaven's sake, Shannon. Yes. So I watched a couple other employees. Again, they're looking down, not looking happy. Get up to use the bathroom, passed by Kendra, who gave me the slightest smile, didn't say anything. And then later on, she supersized that smile when I came back. Very nice. So did a super nice job. The difference between smiling employees who appear happy in a restaurant, and those who are expressionless or frowning, to me, is at least the difference between a $1,000 night and a $1,200 night. I'm here to tell you, if you're a restaurant owner, you're a business owner, you want to increase your sales by 20% in 2011, if you get half your employees to smile 80% of the time, that level of consistency, you can do it. Just that. Just that level of engagement. Why? Why does that mean that much, Johnny, you say? Why do you say this, strange man? I say this. Happy people spend more money on other people and themselves over a long period of time. Sad people spend more money on themselves in a short period of time. Happy is good. Happy people live longer. They do more. They spend more. They have more money. They have a greater impact. Happy is good. Tap into that. Have your employees in a happier place. Either teach them that they can be happy and it's okay, or go out and hire happy people and train them what they need to know. Hire happy, train skills. That's all I'm telling you. Second time in was okay, and actually that night wasn't as good as the second time through. Folks greeting at the front that night were better than the folks the first time through. Yolanda had the nicest smile as a greeter. Very nice. Two other folks around her were doing very well. Alexis took me to the table. Sort of, she was the GPSer and was not, didn't look very happy. Just looked kind of pensive, almost fearful. Young girl, sort of shorter gal. Yeah, then so she's got, and I imagine if Alexis smiles, she just lights up the room is what I'm guessing. Just a suspicion, of course. I wouldn't know that, doggone it. I would take every employee at the Olive Garden and make them watch the part of The Godfather that ain't about killing. And the part to me that ain't about killing is the wedding. Yes. And not at the sort of in there in the beginning, they're having happy and it's music and they're dancing and it's engagement. Hey, everybody, hey. I'd make every employee watch that part of The Godfather That's the environment. That's what you want to create. That's the level of happiness. It's a circus, baby. It's nothing but fun and entertainment. And if your employees can groove on that level, can plug in on that level, you'll create a dynamic that no one else will match. You'll create more money, more revenue, more longevity, more loyalty in your customer base you could possibly ever imagine. It is absolutely true. It is all part of doing great retail. Happy people. You want to read more about the review of the Olive Garden? You can go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. That's where it all be. Coming up, talk about a happy guy. Talk about a happy experience. Talk about a great dynamic. Tercy's Latin King, one of the great staples of Italian dining in the great city of Des Moines. Bob Tercy will join us next to tell us all about the impact of customer service in the restaurant biz. That is coming up. We'll also talk about Twitter. Do your Twitters mean anything? Has anybody read them? Anybody responded to them? New study out will tell us more about that. And secret shopping your own birthday. How does a person do that? Details coming up next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
In our old familiar place, you and I, face to face. A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian red.
This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. The great Billy Joel. Remember living on Long Island doing radio there in Riverhead, New York, and Billy, when he was dating Christine Brinkley, would often go down to the malt shop, which was down below the radio station I worked at. And I remember I telling the malt shop owner, I said, listen, dude, if you see Billy Joel with Christine Brinkley, you've got to call me. Gave him my cell number, the whole thing. One day, cell phone rings, get the call, says, hey, you got to come down here. Billy Joel is down here. And I out of my shoes, I'm flying down there because I'm going to see the great Billy Joel. And I get down there, and the restaurant owner's going, yeah, he's right over there. And I'm looking where he's pointing, and there's a very large, bald man whose back is to me. And I said, what? That's Billy Joel, right there. I said, okay. I was young. I go up. I walk up to him. I said, Mr. Joel? And the man turns around and says, no. Blew that whole thing up. So anyway, I never did get to see Billy Joel, but there's a lot of great stories I'm sure others have of having seen him. One man I have got a chance to talk to, and that is Bob Tercy, who more than holds his own in the star department. He is the owner of Tercy's Latin King. He joins us this morning to talk a little bit about customer service in the restaurant biz. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Johnny. How are you?
Bob, I'm fantastic. Hey, listen, how did you get into the crazy, nutty, insane world of the restaurant business?
Well, Johnny, I got to tell you, at a young age, I was promoted at a local beer distributor. At the time, it was the Miller Beer Distributor, and I was a sales person for the Greater East Side of Des Moines. And Latin King at the time, back in '83, was a non-buy Miller product. And what happened was I went to sell Latin King, a shirt-filled relative of mine owned it at the time, Jimmy Pignieri. I went to sell him to Miller Lite. Miller Lite had came out a couple years before that and was very popular. And he ended up selling me the restaurant several months later. So that's how I got into the restaurant business.
So it wasn't like when you were a kid growing up, you always wanted to own a restaurant. This wasn't like in your blood, your veins, none of that.
Well, let me back up a little bit, Johnny. I did work at the Crystal Tree at the Hilton Hotel back in the late 70s and the very early 80s.
So you had a little bit of that in you, but did you ever think you were going to be a restaurant owner?
You know, probably back then I loved the business because it was at night and there was a ton of people and socialization. It was really fun, but back then, you know, I really didn't think that I was going to be in the restaurant business.
So what has been the biggest surprise? Well, that was 83, so we're obviously a few years after that. What's been the biggest surprise about being in the restaurant business for you?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, the biggest surprise is still being in the restaurant business. At a young age, 21, when you take over a business and you have that adrenaline of getting in it and the ownership of it, I really didn't think that I'd be in it going on 28 years now. I thought I'd be in it for about 10 years, try to build it up, sell it off, and then get into something different.
And I have to ask you, while we're right on the precipice of that, what would have, now looking back, what do you think that different thing would have been? Did you have a sense of like, all right, as soon as I build this up, I'm going to sell it, cash in, and I'm going to go do what?
Well, you know, that is just the biggest question. What am I going to go do? And you know what? When you're young, and then that's all you know is the restaurant business, and it kind of grows on you, and it gets in your blood, and you have the passion for it, there really isn't nothing else to do.
Well, there was nowhere else to go. You got it, and you were good at it. And then how have you survived 28 plus years? A lot of restaurants go down the tubes, chain stores, mom and pops. You've seen them come and go. Bob, how have you stayed in business? What's the trick?
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, it's hard work, and I've had a great staff. I've built a great staff around me over the years. I've had a lot of family support with my wife. She's been my partner for all the years that I've been, in the restaurant. One of my best friends growing up is my chef. We've had two chefs at the Latin King in probably 45 years and two owners in 63. Now, that's amazing. You can't say that anywhere, or I'll challenge that from any other restaurateur in our area. I've got great managers, and you know what? I work with them. I try to set an example, and I get more out of them that way.
You know, Bob, it really cuts to something that, and you talk about the longevity within your employees, helping create longevity and loyalty from a customer standpoint. There's an old saying, treat your employees like you do your best customer. Is that sort of your philosophy?
It is a philosophy. And the thing is, you got to put your employees, you put them on the same playing field as yourself. There's not a job in that restaurant that I wouldn't do, that I wouldn't expect my employees to do. I would do it myself.
How do you, hiring process, you know, the generations, the Gen Y kids coming in, they feel like we owe them something, they're lazy, they do this, they're that, all that stuff that the newspapers tell us about young people. How do you train kids to have a sense of ownership like you have, or can you, or how do you find those kids that have that?
You know, that is the tough part of the business. You know, having the great customers, being able to have a clean restaurant and put a good product on the plate, that is part of the business, very achievable. Finding the right people is difficult today. But you know what? We do still find good people. Number one, what we try to do is we try to get them very young. Bus boys, bus girls, that first of all, that it's their first job. And what we do is we tell them, okay, first of all, we are not your parent. We are not your school teacher. So what we do is we're your employer. We're going to give you a whole different perspective on business and how you should run your life out in the business world. What we do is we give them a sense of the ownership. We take an interest in what they're doing. And you know, school, whether it be school activities, if there's a sick parent, a sick grandparent, any of those items, we try to take a sense of interest in them And what we do is we tell them whatever habits you have, or if you've worked at another place, we ask them to break all your old habits. Can we try to train with people in the restaurant, your experience? And what we do is we try to get a little bit of the strong points of their trainers. And we don't train with one person. We have an individual, whether it be a new waitress, new waiter, or a bus person. We get them to train with several different of our trainers, several different personnel in our trainers. And then what they can do, we ask them to try to take each strong point and then build off of that. And then when they're out on their own, can they have me to deal with? And what I do is I ask them very nicely that, you know what, I'm going to be on you. I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to make suggestions that you need to achieve in order to escalate yourself so that you can have the potential to make more money. Because when you're at work, the bottom line for these people is to make money. And what we want to do is we want them to escalate that, and the way to do it is to be your best and to have the great customer service that we try to give them.
My guest this morning is Bob Tursey. He's the owner of Tursey's Latin King on 1350 KRNC. All right, then that's a $150,000 question, Bob, the customer service training. I mean, that's sort of this big 10,000 feet umbrella sort of statement. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Do you have a specific system at the Latin King, or is it just, I know it when I see it, and that's what I tell them about tap into happiness? What's the philosophy?
Each individual is kind of, you have to train them and you have to give them, you have to give them, each individual, I'm trying to tell you, is a little different. So each person, you have to give them a different philosophy. Some people are treated better, or they get the sense that they can give customer service better by a pat on the back. Some people need to be driven a little bit more, with a little bit more of a steady, firm hand. That's what it really takes. You got to treat each individual a little different. What we do is we try to set an example, like, okay, we put them in a restaurant setting, whether they, coming in the front door or whether they're sitting at a table. And we want them to be treated at our establishment as they want to be treated at somebody else's. That's the big philosophy.
Well, and that really dovetails into my last question, Bob, and that is this. You've been doing this business now for a long time in the restaurant biz. You've seen other businesses, whether it's restaurant or any other biz. You've seen customer service. We feel anyway, that customer service is getting worse across the board. It's one of the things that keeps me in business and keeps you in business because you're doing it well. What do you see out there? Why is that level of customer service declining? Why do you think?
Well, I mean, it's very simple. What it is it's across the board, not only in the restaurant industry, but it's across the board. You know, when you find it in the Walmart store, the Target store, what you have is you have a lack of independence. And the independents, number one, usually only have one store. The owners, their family members, and their great employees that have been trained, they have a sense of ownership of that establishment, whether it be a restaurant, car dealership, clothing store, you name it, they have that sense of ownership, and you're missing that little independence of caring. And you know what it is, basically? It's when we're there, family members there, and we have longtime employees there, they care about your place. That's the bottom line. They're professional, and you're just, you know, everything's just a little too big anymore, I think.
Yeah, and you really hit upon the term family, and you didn't exactly say that, but when you feel like you're in family, you feel like you have ownership and that it matters to you, and I think that's exactly what you're talking about, Bob, and that's certainly the feeling people will get when they visit the Latin King, Tursey's Latin King, 2200 Hubble. I'm thinking of a big old bowl of pasta, little sauce on there, Bob. Sounds good tonight.
You're right. You're making me hungry just talking about it.
Hey, Bob Tursey, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Johnny, it was great talking to you, and thanks for thinking about it.
Bob Tursey, Latin King Restaurant, longtime restaurant owner, kind of got in, didn't really plan on going in, but got in, and then has done very well. 8:36 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Oh, I've got a great Billy Joel story. If I have time, I want to tell that Billy Joel story. Now it's all about Italian. I'm in the music and everything. Hopefully I can get to that. But coming up, we're going to talk to John Hamburger, that is his name, president of Franchise Times Magazine, about the financial and restaurant biz, how that is. But next, how do you secret shop your own birthday? Well, I'm going to tell you about that and lessons learned coming up next. The Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on, 1350 KRNT. Secret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, 839. Johnny forecast today's cloudy, 39 right now, 27. Yes, I say that today is my birthday. Yes, it is today, the big 4-6. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Wow, on this day, 46 years ago, at about 12 hours from now, in a fifth-floor room at Iowa Lutheran Hospital, a 26-year-old woman was just absolutely pooped. She was fatigued, as Foghorn Leghorn used to say, because she had been working laboriously for quite a few hours to get an elephant through a hula hoop. It's a lot of work if you haven't tried it. Eventually, she'd get it through, and the daughter that Kay Ann Wright had always wanted, who turned out to be a boy, but God has a very strict return policy, was born. John Reed Wright. And 8:32 p.m. Friday, November 20th, 1964. And, you know, after that, it all gets very fuzzy. You know, it's very kind of like, it's sort of a blur. Through my philosophy, my belief is that we're all born knowing everything. We come out and we have all knowledge of everything. I mean, what else could explain the look on our face? Hello. And then with every second we exist in this world, we start forgetting. Just at my time, you know, this deep into my 40s, I've forgotten 3/4 of what I knew there at birth. Again, it's my philosophy. I don't know how to test it. It's just a theory. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful birthday wishes today. Facebook, phone calls, Twitter, texts. I got a card here. Just an example. And that's a cool thing about Facebook. They, you know, if you're a Facebook person, you know that if it is your birthday, that it pops up and everybody knows, everybody who is your friend knows it. And so, for example, Timothy Johnson wrote, "Happy birthday, Johnny. Today, will you be exposing all of the bakers in town in your quest to find the perfect birthday cake?" Yes, exactly. That's the new scandalous secret shopper review that will rock the baking world, coming up next Thursday on The Unsecret Shopper. Birthdays are very memorable events. You know, being born is pretty cool. I mean, it's, you know, without it, if we weren't born, it's, you know, it's kind of like sitting in a theater waiting for a movie to start when there's not one scheduled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just kind of sitting there. Being memorable is also the connectivity here is at the heart of customer service, too. Yeah, each interaction with a customer is a chance for that store to be reborn in a sense. It gives it a fresh, new, vibrant feel. I always tell trainees, act like the customer that you've seen at the end of the day is the customer you're seeing at the beginning of the day. Engage them with that sense of freshness, that organic nature, that joy. Give it a vibrant feel. Imprint the customer with the memory of being there. We are very imprintable. We're very impressionable, us young people, young and old alike. In fact, I think that's what we're looking for. I think that's indeed why we shop. One of the reasons we shop, one of the reasons we get up, get off our booty, put our wallet in our pocket, purse around our arm, grab the keys, start up the car, drive down the block, pull in, find a parking spot, get up back out of the car, walk in and start rambling around, it's not because we gotta, it's because we wanna. It's because it's part of our socialization. I think we're looking for happy faces and engaging experiences. We have hundreds of transactions every week, hundreds of opportunities, literally, to get that level of imprint, to have something memorable happen. It almost never does. And the ones that tend to stand out for the wrong reasons. I mean, we drive down the road, traffic is smooth, it's unmemorable. We don't think about the 1983 Malibu we passed on the way to work on I-35 or downtown. We went one way and the Prius went the other and they passed us by, and it's an insignificant moment. What do we remember? We remember the great big school bus painted green with a yellow smiley face on it, where a bunch of people are in there and they're living in the bus, and they go by and there's like a horn on the thing and makes this, if you like, pina colada song coming out of it when it honks. Yeah, that's the thing we remember on the road. So how do store owners and employees turn ordinary retail moments into the green school bus with the yellow smiley face with pina colada song coming out of the horn? Well, let me use this birthday card as a little bit of an anecdote, as a bit of a template. I received this birthday card. The radio station I work at, KRNT, is tucked comfortably amongst many radio stations at the Des Moines Radio Group, which is on Locust in downtown Des Moines. A wonderful place. I've had many, many wonderful years here working at other radio stations here, doing a lot of things in sales and so forth. So I know the staff here, and I do copywriting for many of the staff here. But in any event, happy birthday card was here on Friday for me, and I was reading through these wonderful, have a great one, happy birthday. Rob says happy birthday. Geneva says happy birthday. Karen says enjoy. Bob says have a good one. Lori says happy birthday. Luke says happy birthday. Celia says happy birthday. A name that I can't read says happy birthday. Nancy says have a good one. Happy birthday says Joe. Have a happy birthday says Peg. Very nice. Very awesome. Beautiful card. Very nice. I love it. It's the greetings that are written on this that are a little different that I remember and that I've circled. For example, Mary says, Johnny, have a happy birthday. Does this count as a touch? Of course, and she's joking because in training, I always talk about the kinesthetics of customer service, of reaching out, touching, snaps the endorphins, hey, man, you're feeling good, all that stuff. So very nice. So I remember that. She made a little personal connection with me. Joe writes, the hair weave looks very natural. Sure, and that's very nice of Joe. Oh, yeah, boy, wait till Monday, Joe, I'll tell you. So very nice. I remember that. And then Matt writes simply, I love you. Now, somebody who doesn't know Matt or me would probably take that one way. I'm taking it a different way because Matt, you know, that's just Matt. He's a nut. And so that's sort of our humor. So those are the things that the birthday card's wonderful, but those are the things that stand out. When a clerk writes a thank you note on a receipt with our name on it, that stands out. That stays with us. It resonates a little bit longer. When an employee goes above and beyond what they have to do, what they're paid to do, when we feel as consumers that the employee is doing this on their own time, for their own reasons, not because they have to, but because they want to, not because they're paid to do it, because they feel compelled to do it. When an employee looks at themselves as someone born to help others because they do it because it will make the other person happy, not doing it because it's easy, but because it isn't, and we know the customer will know that and appreciate it and feel spoiled. The journey of fulfillment and happiness is through others and back to ourselves. It's not within ourselves. It's my theory, my belief. People tell us happy birthday because they know it makes us feel good, and that makes them feel good. I was on a date many years ago. There was a guy on the street. He was homeless. I had $150 in my wallet. It's all the money I had in the world. To impress the girl, I handed the dude $100. Now, she was impressed, but the homeless guy was stunned. It turns out that how he felt meant more to me than how she did. I dumped her, and frankly, I dated him for many years. I'm just kidding. But that's what resonated with me, how he felt. This life we're given is not our own. We're given it for the sole purpose of giving it to others as fast and as furiously and as graciously as we can. For who knows who might need that one piece that we've hung on to as our own. So give it away, because it was never ours to begin with. Just my little theory on my 46th birthday. 8:48, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, coming up. John Hamburger, that is his name. He's a publisher, and he'll talk about the financial end of the restaurant biz and how that's looking, maybe a little better than you think. All that coming up next on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
much is that doggy in the window?
8:50 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. How much is it all? You're going to spend a little jack this weekend. Enjoy the weekend before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving ahead of time. We won't be live next Saturday. A encore presentation, as they say. But a man who may take a standing ovation in an encore bow, John Hamburger, president of Franchise Times Magazine, the financial end of the restaurant business. And is it healthy? Is it not? John joins us this morning to tell us. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Johnny.
John, how did you get involved in publishing the world? And you do a lot of publishing. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Johnny, I was a CPA by background, accounting major in college. And my first job out of the CPA firm was with a restaurant company. And we built Chi-Chi's Mexican restaurants around the Midwest. In fact, at one time we owned the Chi-Chi's in Des Moines.
Oh, yes, down on 22nd, I believe.
I believe that was. It was a long time ago. It was in the early 80s. And so that's how I started in the restaurant business. I was on the financial side, and my background was financing restaurants, developing them, building them. And so I started publishing a newsletter called the Restaurant Finance Monitor, which goes to chain restaurant owners and financial people. And it covers the financing and development of restaurants. And then in the mid-90s, I bought a magazine, small little publication called Franchise Times. And it's a national publication for franchise owners and those that are involved in franchising.
So, John, coming from the CPA end, did you have a penchant for the restaurant end of things, or did you just sort of stumble in that avenue?
No, I interviewed for a couple of different jobs, and the job that sounded the most interesting was the one on the restaurant side. It was a growing company, building a lot of locations, and it sounded more interesting at the time than the hospital business or other manufacturing type businesses. So that's why I went to the restaurant business.
Now, do you cook? Is your family a family of cooks?
No, not at all. We like to heat things up.
Sure, very good. So let you help other people do that cooking stuff.
That's
from
right.
The financial
as
end.
As long as I don't have to do it, it's fine.
Oh, very, very good. Now, are you from the Minnesota area, John?
Yes, Minnesota.
Very good.
Minneapolis, St. Paul. I grew up in St. Paul.
Well, listen. Who are those Vikings taking on Sunday? I forgot.
You know, I think it's the dreaded Green Bay Packers.
Oh yes, for heaven's sakes, yes. Got that big game coming up. Absolutely.
And in 2 weeks we'll have the dreaded Iowa Hawkeyes up here.
Oh, that's right. That's always dreaded. That's right. You know, you really have a lot of passion when you're precluded with dreaded. Talk about the state from 10,000 feet, John, and you talk with tons of people all the time and do the numbers. What is the state of the restaurant industry? It's sort of a straw man, but with the economy the way it is, I mean, we can guess at it. Is it healthy? Is it better than last year, worse than last year?
You know, I would say, Johnny, that it's better than last year, but it's really a mixed picture out there. There's a couple of restaurant chains that have really done well in the last couple of years, and they're still doing well. McDonald's, of course, is the largest of them. They really have been on a tear the last 4 or 5 years, and I think that's been impacting a lot of the other quick serve or what you might be refer to as the fast food type restaurants, like Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken and those types of restaurants. The other chains that have been doing very well are Panera Bread. Panera Bread has had a really nice run here the last couple of years. And then also Chipotle. Chipotle is over 1,000 units now. They're growing rapidly, and they're doing well. On the casual dining side, the restaurants have finally stabilized. You know, casual dining, and when I say casual dining, I'm thinking of restaurants like Applebee's or Chili's, TGI Fridays, Ruby Tuesday, those types of restaurants, they've been declining. Their sales have been declining since 2006. And late this summer is the first time since 2006 that those restaurants have stabilized and are now trending slightly positive. So it's really a mixed bag out there. There's some systems that are doing very well in this economy, and there's some that are struggling.
Well, talk about then the Paneras and the McDonald's of the world. Is it just that their marketing direction? Are they serving a different kind of food in a different way? What's led to their success here recently?
Yeah, you know what I think it is if you take a look at McDonald's over the last 10 years, McDonald's has rebuilt locations. They've relocated stores. Most McDonald's are newer. You know, you walk in, they've been remodeled. Exteriors are remodeled, flat screen TVs. You know, they've really shown the customer that they've upgraded and updated. And I think the customer likes going into a newer looking facility. And McDonald's has been real good at that. If you look at Panera or Chipotle, they're relatively new concepts. You know, Chipotle is 10, 12 years old. Panera maybe a little older. But most of the Paneras and Chipotles are newer looking, and I think that really plays a lot to you know, the psyche of a restaurant goer. You know, they even in a kind of a lousy economy, they want to go into some place that's newer looking. So I think that's really been key, I think, to the performance of those companies.
And one thing, and speaking of Panera, when I go into a Panera, and particularly, and you're right, it has that new, fresh feeling. And there's also, and this cuts to customer service, which, of course, is my specialty, but I really get a sense that those employees smile and engage and greet, and there's a warmth. I mean, the ambiance plus the customer interaction, I think, really lends itself to having a great experience inside those Paneras. Is that your sense?
You know, I think you're onto something here, and I think it comes down to, you know, when a restaurant is doing well, when it's got the perception in the community of doing well, people want to work there, and so the owners, the managers, have a large number of potential applicants that want to work there, and I think it's just such a good it works together so well. You know, when people want to be there, you know, the customer service is usually better.
How do then restaurants like older chains, Applebee's, Ruby Tuesday, so forth, Olive Garden, how do those restaurants reinvent themselves, not only in the customer's eyes, because you can, you know, re-up and rebuild or refurbish, make it look newer, but also in the employees' eyes as well, make it more desirable to work there? How do they do that?
Well, on the sort of the food side, you know, the chains are always trying things, testing things, you know, trying to come up with new menu items. The problem, and they're usually fairly good at that. The problem is that locations, the actual physical plant, you know, in a lot of cases isn't kept up. You know, it's not updated, and restaurants need to be updated. You know, I would say anywhere from, you know, every 5 to 7 years, you almost have to go through and really update them. And you see, some chains will do that. I mean, Olive Garden has been very good at that. Red Lobster goes through a period where they're updating. As I mentioned, McDonald's has been good at that. But some systems are terrible at it. I mean, you look at some of the quick serve or fast food places. You know, they just haven't upgraded now. Partly that's because a lot of these locations are owned by franchisees, and some franchisees just don't have the capital to upgrade them.
John Hamburger, great guy, smart man, publisher. I didn't know he was going to be a publisher and became one anyway. That's what he does, and very well read by people in the restaurant biz. Appreciate his time this morning. Also, Bob Tersey, thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you for all your great birthday wishes today. Can't thank you enough. You're making you're just making me feel so good on my 46th birthday. You know what can really make me feel good today? I hope this one comes gift wrapped. If Iowa State wins tonight, because I'm going to be there freezing my 46-year-old rear end off. Listen, they better. And I want it wrapped in a bow, baby. Six wins! Go Hawkeyes as well. Have a great weekend! See you Monday.